Well, shall we look at our Bibles and draw some nourishment from the Word this morning? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. If you were not here last week, I suggest you find that recording. It'll be on the internet. It'll be on our church website. Listen to that, where we establish this idea. Faith is more than believing. And already there last week, we were establishing there are people who have a believing stance. And we looked at a scripture or two that said, not all have obeyed the gospel. So we're going to continue down this road today. If you like titles, this week I wrote, Faith Obeys. Oh, a dirty word, obey. Even worse, submit. So faith obeys. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But then other places, Abraham obeyed God. Well, which is it, obeying or believing? We looked at a scripture that says Abraham was fully persuaded. Well, how do you know if you're truly where you need to be in faith? Well, when you're fully persuaded. A fully persuaded acts, follows, obeys. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed. There it is. And when you take all the scriptures that talk about Abraham, how he followed God, you will find them almost evenly divided between Abraham believed and Abraham obeyed. You get the sense that we're talking about one and the same thing. Sometimes it's called believing, sometimes it's called obeying. And the point that I'm making is they are the same thing. We are not in faith until we're following, until we obey. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. So we see here that Abraham obeyed, not just believed. And God asked him to do something. He told Abraham, get up, get out of your country, leave your family, and go to a place that I'll show you in the future. Didn't even know where he was going. And how many times don't we, when we sense the leading of God to make a change, okay, we're leaving this, but God, I need to know where we're going. Just tell me where we're going. Just tell me what you want, and I'll go do that. And he goes silent on us. Why does he do that? He wants to follow because of trust and faith. And if he told you, well, I'm taking you to such and such a place and, you know, all of that, we might say, not that. I'm not doing that. You know, I mean, the old thing when I was growing up is everybody was afraid, get too close to God because God will call you to be a missionary in Africa. I'll tell you this. If God does call you to be a missionary in Africa, you will be the happiest, most fulfilled, most blessed you could ever be in Africa. Amen. So when you look at some of these missionaries in these various parts of the world, I rub shoulders with them when I go to some of the meetings, you know, that we go to. They thrive when they are in the place they're supposed to be. Amen. So if God says, I want you to do this and this, well, God, if I do that, we're not going to have enough money. Yeah, it's time to trust. It's time to trust. If you show me on paper how this works out monetarily, okay, we'll do that. Time to trust. Time to trust. And as I look back in our lives, Sandy and I, there were steps we took that did not have good explanations and did not satisfy not so much my mom and dad, but some of the extended family. But God asked you to go, right? And Abraham went. Now, we don't have anything in our Bibles that tell us how quickly he went, but we know from other times when God asked him to do equally difficult things, for example, offer his son Isaac, that he got up early the next morning and he was doing it. So we can take it that Abraham was quick to do what God asked him to do. We should be that way as well. Quick to do what God asks us to do. Now, there may be a time period where you want to spend some time being sure you heard from God. We're not talking about impulsive. We're not talking about goofy. But Abraham was quick to obey God. He didn't just believe, but he obeyed. He went into action. Without obeying, it's questionable if we're actually believing God or not. It's just like the guy that does the high wire act, you know, the balance on the wire, crosses the Niagara Falls, walks across, goes across, comes back. The crowd's all excited. That's wonderful. That's amazing. And he says, how many believe if I put my you up on my shoulders, blindfolded, he does this, I put you up on my shoulders, I could carry you across. And everybody, oh yeah, I believe you could. I believe you could. Okay, who wants to be first?
No. You go ahead.
Right? This is what we're talking about. Believing is climbing up on God's shoulders and trusting Him to carry you across. We Americans love our independence, but we are called as Christians to a life of total dependence. He heard from God. Notice that it said, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. You have to hear from God. Abraham didn't decide, hey God, I think I'm going to move and you're going to bless me. You have to hear from God. Without a leading from God, it's not faith, but it's presumption. Now, we have 66 books of the Bible, written word of God. We have some knowledge of things that it says inside those scriptures. We know that it's God's will that we would prosper and be in health. You know that from the scripture. And so many times we will take a scripture and say we've heard from God and begin to apply that to ourselves. But is that faith? Is that hearing from God? Hearing from God is an individual thing. You can determine the will of God from the scriptures, but you must hear the specifics for you. What do I mean by that? You need to know which scripture God quickens to you to stand upon. You need to know how he's directing you to take a scripture that somebody else said, I stood on this scripture. Well, if they heard from God, that's the one. Well, I'm going to grab it too because it's good. It doesn't work that way. God wants us to seek him as individuals on our individual case, and he may minister to one this way and to another that way. Just look at the miracles that Jesus did. I was reading in the Gospel of Mark this morning. There's a number of times he spit. I've seen individuals minister to somebody spitting. Why did they do that? Did God tell them to that time? Jesus didn't spit every time. Right? We need to follow instructions. We need to receive instructions. The way one person walks out their healing, promised and given by God, and the next one can be very, very different. We need to hear as individuals, what is God's leading? Now, he can do that a variety of ways. He can tell you in your heart, It can tell you with that inward voice, inward witness, you can be reading along and something just seems to, expression we use, is jump off the page at you. Just somehow you know. I mean, I've been reading sometimes and a verse hits me and I just got to stand up and I feel the impact of that verse. That's God speaking to me. So, you know, I have been led individually any number of times. And there's likely a scripture involved. When God talks to us, He will talk the way He's always talked and may say to you just what it says in a scripture. But that is a different thing from just picking a scripture. Now, while I'm here, I will tell you it is good, it is very good to know several healing scriptures, to know what the scriptures say concerning your financial well-being. You know, one that I'm confessing concerning Sandy these days is, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're receiving soundness of mind. And we're only partway along on that journey. But it's growing, getting better. By the way, I'll give this report about her. Every one of the caregivers has told me recently, brain injury sometimes says things that they shouldn't, that she's cussing less and less. She's remembering more names. And not only names, but voices. So it is very good to have knowledge of what scriptures are available to you. And you can choose and say those scriptures. But the Lord will, most of the time, I'm going to say, direct you to a particular, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one. When He gives you an instruction, then you can obey it. And when you obey it, you're now actually in faith. If there's no instruction, no leading, nothing to obey, I question, are we even in faith yet? Even if you're very familiar with scriptures, even if you're fully persuaded, if you don't have an instruction to obey, are we in faith? I know God's will by the Bible. Isn't that enough? No. We need to know God's specific instructions to us. Jonah was instructed, wants you to go to Nineveh. And he did not obey. Well, has God told anybody here to go to Nineveh? So that was Jonah's instruction, but not mine. This would be true countless numbers of times, individual by individual. God will tell certain individuals. Now, He may say something to some individuals, change your diet. And if He says that, then it's an instruction that must be obeyed. Now, for me, maybe I still need to change my diet some. However, that's not what He told me. And by the way, if you wish, well, God, don't tell me to change my diet. I want to be like Pastor Dan. I'm just going to say Psalm 91, verse 16. That won't work for you. What do you say to me? You have to hear from God for yourself. Now, you maybe have read Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. And you may be following that and so on too. But for Sandy and I, that was our instruction. And that's why we could latch onto that, grab hold of that, and spend all of our lives since then saying, this is where our faith is, this is what we're believing. And in terms of God adding to us, oh, He has done it over and over and over and over and over again. Faith obeys. You gotta hear from God to have something to obey. You can only have faith for what God says to you. Now, there are instructions in the Word that apply to all of us. Well, do I get to ignore those because God didn't say that to me specifically? No. No, we don't get to ignore those. But if we have a particular situation that we're seeking God on and we're looking for a remedy, we're looking for a breakthrough, we're looking to advance, that area is where we need to hear from God. Let's go to James chapter 2 and verse 20. James writes and he says, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" And we said last week, when you see that word works, don't be confused by that. Other places the Bible talks about works of the flesh, works of the law, but there are also works of faith. Think of it this way, action or doing. Verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works," or we could say by doing, "when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect." Perfect, whenever you see that in your Bible, think complete or mature. That's what the definition of the original word is, complete or mature. When something's finished, complete, mature, that's what perfect is. So faith is not complete until there's doing, until there's action, until there's obedience. Faith doesn't even work until there's doing, until there's an acting upon, until there's obedience. The word, if you look it up in a Greek dictionary, at least the one I have, it works, it means act. It's also defined as deed, D-E-E-D, deed. Also, activity or work. And the last definition said, the last two, one was an assigned task. That's a good way to think about it. You're not going to be operating in faith until you pick up the assigned task. And lastly, job. We have a job to do. We hear from God. We hear what His instruction is, whether by the Word, in our heart, or in our heart, a quickening of the Word, whichever it is. We have a task. Maybe you know people, I certainly do, who will say things like, "I tried that faith stuff. It doesn't work." Well, they may have been working on being fully persuaded, being convinced. They may have worked on kind of getting their, shall we say, head wrapped around it. But did they follow instruction? Did they seek instruction? When Pastor Sandy, that first happened to her, the brain aneurysm, she was conscious, alert, and aside from a terrible, terrible headache, was functional. And we discussed and then ended up, we better go to a hospital. Went to an emergency room. In the preliminary exam room is where she passed out. I saw the arm retracting up, eyes roll back in her head. I knew immediately it was a brain event. They quickly, people come running, take her to an emergency room, full equipped room. I don't know exactly what happened, but somebody come out and say, "We're taking her for a scan." Made sense. I knew something in the brain. And while she's there in that scan, having that scan, I full well know this is serious, very serious. And this is not all that long after the cousin I mentioned earlier had passed away. And I was regularly saying, "With long life, will you satisfy me and show me your salvation?" So much so that Pastor Sandy picked it up too. She was saying that also. The Lord quickened it to me. It seemed like she took it as well, quickened to her. And so they've got her back there, and I realize she may be dead or dying this very moment. And my first reaction was disbelief. And you know how people say, "This can't be happening, this can't be happening, this can't be." And I wanted to immediately talk about, "Lord, we don't deserve this," you know, that kind of thing. "But this can't be happening." And it's my own spirit answered me. Maybe it was my head said, this can't be happening, and my spirit said, oh, it's happening, and you better get in gear quick. I knew that I needed to release faith for her life, for her healing, for her well-being. I knew immediately, I better ask God about this. Now, I believed she was way too young, and it wasn't long life yet. My prayer, what I said was, and just under my breath, I'm there, Lord, what do you say about this? I needed to know his counsel. I needed his instruction. I cannot release faith if I don't have his instruction. Now, I could have gone through the motions. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But without God's instruction to me specifically, I'm shooting in the dark. And may I suggest to you that an awful lot of our prayer is shooting in the dark. And to complete the story, the Lord immediately answered, and he said to me, what have I already said about this situation? Well, I didn't have a specific occasion where the Lord warned me about her life was in danger. When this happens, I want you to say this. I had nothing other than the word in my heart. And when he invites me to bring to him what he's already said, then that's what I did. I said, well, Lord, you said with long life will you satisfy us and show us your salvation. You said multiple places that by his stripes we are healed. You said in John 10:10 that Jesus, you came, that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And I might have tossed in one or two more, but those three right there give the whole counsel of God concerning Sandy, because he invited me to rehearse what he already said. And so when I said those scriptures, gave his word back to him, then the Lord said to me, well, I'm not changing what I said. Are you? Which is, again, an invitation to take the words he already gave me, the words he's already spoken, but to own them for myself, to take them in and release my faith by speaking his word, not generally, but the three or four that I did, that I already said, he said. And so I did that. Well, Lord, I claim in the name of Jesus, I say, with long life you will satisfy us and show us her salvation, so she must live, and she must have a satisfying life. You came that we'd have life more abundantly. To die now would not be abundant life. Right. To be sick would not be abundant life, and all of that. So I went through those things, and that was the releasing of my faith. And I can't tell you that I prayed a whole lot more than those few sentences. And that's it. But I had the voice of God to respond to. And I released faith by taking what he said, following him, obeying him. It was not shooting in the dark. It was very precise. But I had to hear from God. It's kind of hard to even tell those stories because it brings me back there. But I intend to help as much as I possibly can. So that whole last few minutes is hear from God. You got to hear from God. When you have that, you're most of the way home. Then you can pray the prayer of faith, releasing it. Then you enter his rest. The work part of it is hearing from God. And make it easy for him. Read your Bible regularly. Folk who don't read their Bible regularly are very handicapped and limited as to what God can say to them. Read your Bible every day. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And we're going to focus in on that word disobedience. Before we do, notice that we used to walk according to the course of this world, the way of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That is Satan, Lucifer, the devil. And notice he is called the prince of the power of the air. There are folk who like to say God's in control of everything. He is not. There is a very strong influence and influencer in this world. And he has power and authority in this world, at least in the atmosphere, the air surrounding the earth. That prince of the power of the air, you can see here, he works in the sons of disobedience. The devil is always pushing disobedience. Disobedience is rebellion. He's always pushing rebellion and disobedience. And when it says works in the sons of disobedience, that is a reference to unbelievers. But I assure you, there are plenty of believers who are in disobedience. Anytime believers yield to the push and the influence of the enemy to act according to the way of the world, we are then a son or a daughter of disobedience. Not a good place to be. And here's where the word doesn't work for someone. The word disobedience, apatheia, it's awful close to our word apathy. It is defined as, number one, disobedience. Number two, rejection of belief. We have maybe tied together that to disobey is to not believe. But there it is. That word means rejecting believing. It means to refuse. It's a compound word. Apatheia. The second part of that, the thea, is to persuade or convince. In other words, when one disobeys, even if they claim they believe, they are unpersuaded and unconvinced. Because if one is persuaded and one is convinced, they will follow. They will obey. To disobey shows that you're unpersuaded, unconvinced, that you lack trust. How then can you call anything faith when one is unpersuaded and unconvinced? What do I mean there? There are people who say, well, we're just standing in faith. But when you don't see the action to follow, when you don't see the obedience, they are in fact unconvinced, unpersuaded, and that, no matter what they say about it, is not faith. That tells me I've heard an awful lot of people say, we're just believing in faith, we're just standing in faith, and now I know they weren't in faith at all. Now this is good news, by the way. It feels heavy a little bit when something's out of adjustment to be instructed as to how to get it adjusted. That's good news. That's good news. And again, the prince of the power of the air works so hard to get at least partial disobedience because it nullifies faith. Partial obedience. Partial disobedience. Oh, we have done it, every one of us. And we're going to look at some examples from the scriptures. Well, Lord, I did what you said. Not exactly. And that nullifies faith. Obedience is the proof of persuasion, the proof of trust, the proof of faith. How do we know that Abraham trusted and operated in faith, he got up out of his country, left his family behind, and left. That's how we know. How do we know he offered Isaac by faith? He got up early in the morning and took off. He gathered the wood. He tied up his son. He made an altar. He raised the knife in the air. That's how we know. How will you know if you're in faith? Are you following the instructions? I don't know about everybody else, but I know for me, now I can look back at some things and analyze my present situation and know that I know that I know I'm in faith. Just stay the course. Just keep going. How do I know? Because I did what he told me to do. When you know that, you won't believe how incredibly strong you're going to be in faith, how immovable you are. Now, surely God helped me, but I'll recall again those days in the ICU with Pastor Sandy. How many times highly trained, highly skilled doctors came at me and pressured me to believe something different. She'll never wake up. And all the things, and it was several times a day, every day. It was pressure, 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 pressure. A little better than a week ago, I spoke with Pastor Webb on the phone, and he said to me, by the time I got to you in the emergency room, he didn't recognize it at first, but years later, he said, you have pretty much had that thing locked down. I wouldn't have thought so at the time, but he says, but I watched how you handled the doctors, and you were immovable. Now, he only stayed a day, but then family was with me for weeks. My family can testify, we just didn't move. They would tell me, you know, this or that, and I'd say, well, I believe something different. The Lord told me something different. I'm not trying to pick a fight. So I was very soft in my language, but as I refused to accept as truth, what they said. Now, it's true in the natural. I get that. I refused it. And I was able to do that. Yes, God helped me every day. Yes, I called on His grace every day. But I knew that I had obeyed Him and heard from Him and had my answer. It'll make you incredibly strong in faith if you'll follow God. Do what He says. Amen. You know, for so many people, operating in faith is kind of like the lottery. You hope to win and you're not sure if you will. You got a greater chance of being struck by lightning than you do of winning the lottery. But anyway, people try, and it's same in prayer. They just keep throwing it up on the wall and see what sticks. Hopefully something will stick. Try it again. Go to another service. Try a different minister. You know, all these things. Walking by faith is not like that at all. It is definite. It is certainty. But you've got to put in the effort, hear from God, and then do it. And it'll make you strong in faith, immovable, no matter what doctors tell you, no matter what financial things say, and so on. You'll know what God says. And it'll be so resolute inside of you that Brother Hagin used to say it this way, I couldn't have doubted if I tried. And I certainly got there with Pastor Sandy, is endeavoring to stay there. I can't doubt if I tried. I know. I know. Amen. Romans 10:20. I'm trying to make you all strong. Strong in faith. Telling you how to do it. Romans 10:20. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. That means you and I, Gentile peoples, being talked about there. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Verse 21, but to Israel, he says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Folks, this is the number one problem worldwide. That God reaches out to them, and they are disobedient and contrary. And let me tell you, there are folks who've made it in the door. They're born again, but still carry on their lives in kind of a disobedient and contrary way. Sometimes people use the word backslidden. That's somebody born again, but disobedient and contrary, right? You can be really right in some areas and really wrong in some others, even as a Christian. The word contrary there means, if you're looking at a King James Bible, does it say gainsaying? Yeah, gainsaying. Well, that's a word we don't use so much anymore. Gainsaying is just simply being argumentative. Argumentative. So contrary, in Greek language, it is oppose, speak against, talk back, and contradict. I know some folks like that. I know Christians like that. They think everything is a debate and an argument, and they don't mind talking back. They don't care who you are, all that kind of stuff, you know. So, as I wrote here, the church is not exempt. We have them here in church as well. That's Romans quoting Isaiah. Let's go look at the original, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, 1. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. Verse 2. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. Whenever you're discussing maybe the Bible or things, you know, inside the Christian life, and you hear somebody say, well, I just think it's immediately time to throw up the red flag, be cautious, tap the brakes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because whatever comes after I just think is going to probably be wrong, probably very wrong. Which is a good spot for me to tell you, it doesn't matter what I think. Well, he's the pastor of the church, and he thinks, no. It doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what you think. None of that matters. It only matters what God says.
Amen.
Now, we may have to work a little bit, and there may be a little different flavors upon how we understand what God says, but we should always be striving to come to straight up, what did God say? And we don't modify it. We don't put our thoughts, our thinking upon it. Truth. Truth is truth no matter who believes it. Even if nobody believes it. Something is not true because the majority believe it. Something is true just because. And boy, do we live in a time of relative truth. There is no my truth and your truth. There's no such thing. There is only truth. When you go down that road, when someone goes down that road, they're already off. Doesn't matter what you think. What does God's word say? What does God say? And so, you know, across what you might call Christian churches, when it comes to theology, doctrine, there's a wide variance on some things, you know. I mean, we're told in this present time that there should be gay ministers and all that kind of stuff, you know, because God is love. He loves everybody. Well, he does, but some folk are disobedient.
Yeah, amen.
So there's all kind of relative truth, you know, on some things, but so truth is truth. Amen. Honor your father and mother. And it says in a new covenant, this is the first commandment with a promise, that you shall live long upon the earth. How long do you honor your mom and dad? Till they're gone? I say till after they're gone, for all of my life. And I endeavor to still do that. Is one of the ways I know I'll live long upon the face of the earth, and days will go well with me. Amen. So God hasn't changed. Again, forgiveness is always available, but that requires repentance. Numbers 20. Let's go to Numbers 20, verse 2. Here the children of Israel are wandering out in the wilderness. They were master grumblers, master complainers. And verse 20, now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and the people contended with Moses. They argued and fought with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us up to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. You explore through the Old Covenant, you'll find 10 times they tempted the Lord. 10 occasions where this grumbling and complaining broke out. And so here's one of those occasions. And they argued and fought with Moses. Moses is just following God, right? And notice something while we're here. They spoke about everything they didn't have instead of thanking God for what they did have. This one, as I was studying this out, hit me again like a ton of bricks. How often are we tempted, even in going before the Lord? Lord, we don't have this, and we don't have this, and wait a minute, that's what these folks were doing. And even as I look at Pastor Sandy and have walked these 6 years now, where little by little healing is manifesting, there's still things she can't do. There's still things that are difficult to deal with. She was giving me such a fuss last night, I was wishing Tammy would come over and take care of her mama. But that's just how it is sometimes. But anyway, hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, be careful about talking about what you don't have. If you're going to talk, talk about how God has blessed you and what you do have, what you're grateful for. And then when it comes to something you don't have, Lord, I thank you. Such and such is on the way. I know you as provider. I know you are faithful. And Lord, it may not be here today, but it's coming. It's coming. I call her legs, walking feet. Left hand, I call it working in Jesus' name. I call her memory restored. I call the governor on her mouth so she thinks before she says some things. I call that restored in Jesus' name. I have learned how to talk. Talk the blessing. Talk about what God has given and it's coming. Thank God for what He's already done. I'm so thankful the girl can talk. We went 4 years without a word, and now, well, there's too many now, but still, I'm thanking God she can speak. So they argued and fought with Moses. They spoke of everything they did not have. The enemy pushes this behavior. He will push you to notice what you don't have and complain about it. And sometimes we call it prayer. We complain about what's wrong and what we don't have. Think about how you phrase those things and make sure there's thanksgiving and faith in your prayer. Otherwise, you're grumbling against the Lord. And it's really questionable as to whether tears are in order. Because we believe that God's meeting that need. It may hurt a lot. And yes, tears will come. I've had some of those tears myself as well. But I know when the tears come, I need to turn that thing around and get back to rejoicing and thanking and praising God and get the right words coming out of my mouth. Amen. These folks always talked about what they didn't have. And in the end, when it says we're going to die in the wilderness, you know, well, then they did. And the situation was water. They needed water. This happened more than once. The first time that it happened this way, God instructed Moses, take your rod, strike the rock, and water will come forth. The rock is Christ, we're told in the New Testament. And we're actually told that rock followed them. And so Moses took the rod, struck the rock, water gushed forth. This is a second time around. And let's pick up at verse 7. Verse 7, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. So Moses has an instruction from God that if he will obey in faith, will produce the result. He's not told to strike it. He's told to speak to it. It says, thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now you look at this, and you'll be tempted to say, all's well that ends well. It works, so it's all okay. No, it is not. God will forgive, but he will not accept modifications to his instructions. Moses disobeyed God. He was to speak to the rock. Moses lost his cool and struck the rock. We can see this. Getting the desired results, even performing miracles, does not endorse the man. Well, Moses produced water, so he must have been right. And to the present day, just because God mercifully ministered water, even though Moses disobeyed, God will even in this present day mercifully minister healing, perhaps through a minister who's in disobedience in some way. And it is not the proof of the man. It's the proof of God. There was a movie years ago. Steve Martin was in it. What was it called? Leap of Faith. Don't know if you saw it or not. But it's a guy who was a fake healing evangelist. You know, the earpiece and all of that, and they had their tricks to fake word of knowledge and all that kind of stuff. And so his meetings are growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And sure enough, laying on of hands, he starts having healing miracles. And in the movie, he's totally baffled. How could this be? Knowing he's a fake. That movie was more right than we might think. There can be faith in the heart of the person that comes forward, even if the minister is out of step with God, wrong with God, disobeying God, even a fake, and they'll receive miracles. What do we attribute that to? The faith of the individual, which Jesus spoke of many times in his miracles. Yeah. And even if you're a pretender, if you preach the word, it's still the word and it's still powerful, even if it comes from the mouth of a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that explains some of the preachers that we've had through the ages, right? We could probably name some names, but sometimes they're really good and then they go bad. That happens too. God will do things for people who are in faith despite the missteps of the minister. Amen. We are not to change up the instructions that God gives. When he tells you to do something, tells you how to do it, when he gives you specificity, don't change it up. And don't say, well, that's good enough, or that's about what you asked for, or claim that's what you asked for and it was not. What else is wrong here? Moses said, shall we bring forth water? Well, who is we? Aaron and Moses were standing there, right? Did he mean he and Aaron? Did he mean he and God? Truth be told, Moses didn't have much to do with it. Moses actually disobeyed God, and the water came anyway. And the problem here is the Lord is not even mentioned in the bringing forth of the water. Moses should have said, now you've grumbled and complained against the Lord, and the Lord has heard your complaint. He's going to minister to your needs, but you need to watch your hearts. And then speak to the rock. Rock, bring forth water. And water would have come. That's how Moses should have done it, right? But he lost his temper, lost his anger. The way he reported it, he was working the work. You know, God's not even mentioned in it. This is another one of those things that kind of hit home with me. Because when people ask things like, well, how did you get successful this way or that way? Or how did you, you know, some blessing in your life? You might ask a brother, how did you get that? Well, we believed God for it. That implies that they did it. And I'm convicted in my own heart of how I talk about this. For instance, the Lord has prospered Sandy and I greatly. And I have talked about our part, believing in faith, and how we, how the Lord has prospered us. How we cooperated, maybe I'll say. First of all, we have a plan. I called it the 10-10-10. We always brought our tithe in. There's 10% of my income. Then we gave another 10% in offerings. There's the second 10. And then for a lot of years, we endeavored to put away 10% of our income into investments. 10-10-10. So if somebody asks me, how did you become successful financially that way? Oh, well, we did 10-10-10. The Lord blessed me. But that's not the whole story. And I obeyed His word. I brought the whole tithe into the storehouse. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I was a good steward in putting away some money. It required both of those. But when we talk about how to be successful in something, pay attention to how you do that. Amen? Do we leave the impression that we did it? Pastor Dan, how'd you get there? Well, we invested for a lot of years. Well, yeah, but God prospered us. We had things happen that, you know, you wouldn't normally expect. It was God moving in a supernatural way. We must leave people impressed with God, not impressed with us. Now, it's relevant to say, I obeyed, I followed His instructions. I believe we must give and it's given to us. I believe bring the tithe into the storehouse. I believe you should live on less than you make and make investments, right? Give God something to work with. So, you know, those things work together. But leave people more impressed with God than with ourselves. And here, in Moses' case, and for us, if we don't repent, it'll cost us something. We'd like to think that we repent and it'll never cost you anything. But sometimes you make a disobedient step, it's going to cost something. Can you repent and recover? Yes. But it's still going to cost something. And if we go to Numbers 20 and verse 12, the next verse from where we were, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not, what's the next word? Believe. He didn't obey, but here it says believe. Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel means respect and reverence. To hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land which I have given them. It cost Moses the promised land. And you may say, well, that's a very harsh penalty. Well, Moses was called a friend of God. Moses walked close with God. Moses knew better. So many times Moses would fall on his face when the people weren't acting right and ask God to forgive them, you know. And Moses would say, if you're not going to bring them into promise, don't bring me in. So he was called meekest of men, Moses, right, in the scriptures. But here's one time he blows it, loses his cool, and it cost him. Now again, you can repent. Moses did attempt, but God would not relent. No, this is, and why is that? The greater your knowledge and experience with God, the tighter the boundaries are for you. And you may say, well, then I don't want very much knowledge of God. It don't work like that. But the longer you walk with God, the more you know Him, the more He expects you to walk in the light that you have. So we see here where it's disobedience of Moses, the Bible calls it disbelieving, not believing. And I hope today again reinforces what we introduced last week. When you think of operating by faith, you cannot separate it from obeying, from following God. And if you're looking at someone and they just can't seem to get the blessing going, their faith's not working. And their faith's not working because they're not following. And I may not know where they're not following God. Then again, in some cases, it's pretty obvious. You can see some things. You know, when it says, give and it shall be given to you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, for with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Well, that's pretty plain. And if somebody won't do that, they're not going to have a heaping harvest. They're just not. Disobeying words of Jesus there. That particular one implies it's optional, and it is. Give as much as you want to give. And in the measure that you give, it'll be measured back to you. That puts every one of us in control of how much financial wealth we have. It's not God choosing your level. We choose our own level. And the giving is part of it. There's other things as well. If God tells you to go to Nineveh and you don't, you're going to end up in the belly of a fish. And you can repent and be spewed out on dry land, right? But they say from, I read of Jonah was scarred from the gastric juices inside the whale, skin bleached. He looked like, the brother looked uncomfortable. It cost him something. And don't know if he would have had pain in the skin. It'd be like a burn. Yeah. Just like a burn, right? And so he repented. He got it right. Nineveh was saved, but it cost him something to disobey God. So what are we saying? If you got a few burns, if you got a few scars, if you've been through a few things, it may be that there was a disobedience and it cost. But repent, get back on track. But that experience is there. Amen. Can you live a life and never have those happen? Well, as much as you obey, you could. Amen. But I don't know anybody that got a perfect paper on that one yet. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and thank you for the instruction from your word. And even though, Lord, it may seem like a word that steps on our toes, it's still a good word. It's a helpful word. It brings some correction, but with correction, just like flying the airplane, course correction leads to the destination. If we don't correct course, we don't make it to the proper destination. So, Father, we welcome these things, and may they be quickened continually in our hearts, that we might be reminded and follow them. Father, thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. By the way, if you're interested, next Sunday morning and evening, and I believe Monday, Tuesday, and possibly even Wednesday, Pastor Webb and some of the ministers that they kind of do special meetings with are going to be in Champaign, Illinois, at Believers Church there. Pastor Trent Cloyne. I know that Sandy and I will try to make some of those services. Kirby's are halfway there already where they live. It may be some distance for you, but it'd be some good extra special meetings if you can make it out for that. I would even suggest a carpool. They got a Portillo's there too. You can go to Portillo's and get a sandwich just before church. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. See you next Sunday.